life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the heart of eternal worship and the heart of these messages is for you and for me to know God, to know Jesus Christ, to know Holy Spirit in a deeper and more real way. And that's possible. How many of you know that's possible? And if you don't know it's possible, then you know what? Have ears that will hear. Have a tender heart. Just open up your heart. Because knowing God comes through relationship with a person. Amen? And this is an intimate love relationship with the Lord. So through this relationship that we have with Him, God reveals Himself. Now, how many of you here this morning in your walk with God where you would say, well, God has revealed Himself to me? We use that language all the time, right? But how many of you could say that God has revealed Himself to you? Anyone? Show me your hands. You know, isn't that like so powerful and so awesome? And so His purposes, His ways, and He invites us to join Him so that we would discover His ways and we would discover His purposes. And He invites us to do that. So now this may sound very familiar to you because I frequently say that. And it is something that has impacted my life deeply. It's impacted my life deeply. And so sometimes I repeat things, and it's never to say, look at me, Mr. Super Spiritual Man or something like this. But I'll give you an example. Don't start there because you might be wrong. You have to learn to walk in that relationship. But when we were at Overflow last year, it was funny because some of the young people, I told them what happened, and they weren't that impressed because they need to develop that listening ear. So I was standing there, and there's like 3,500 kids waiting to get into the building. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, man, this is pretty sweet. This is beautiful. All these young people, they're going to spend a couple of days worshiping God. And I said, God, show me where you're at work here. And so I could join you. So I've told you this story maybe even a couple of weeks ago. It goes right over there. Now you're thinking like, oh yeah? So you hear God that clear? Yeah, I do. I do. And I'm no different than any of you. All of you can hear God that clearly. So He says to me, He says, right over there. So I turn, and there's 3,500 kids and leaders and everything, and there was a Muslim couple there. And I walked right up to them, and I said, hi. I said, my name is Ken, and I said, I'm a real Christian. 45 minutes later, I walk into the arena to get my wife. I said to them, I said, oh, this has been so wonderful meeting you. I said, can I go get my wife? Because I'd like to introduce you to her. So I go and get Linda, go in. That's just one in thousands of examples. But that is what our God is like. And we learn to walk with Him. And when we obey and we walk close with God, He accomplishes wonderful things through you that only He can take credit for. And to walk in that type of a relationship, that you could walk in wonderful things that He will do through you that only He can take credit for, is deeply, deeply supernatural. It's incredible. You look, we get out of the way. It's time sometimes for us to get out of the way. Because sometimes we say things, we don't know what we're talking about. We get a little bit of snippet of news here, a little bit of snippet of news there, and we regurgitate what someone else has said, and we haven't developed it ourselves. But when we develop that relationship with God, He does amazing things through us, and then we look and He takes the credit for it, and that's all good. So my goal over these next few messages, that we will grow deeper in our relationship with Him. Why? So each of us will truly experience eternal life to the fullest degree. So how many of you know that it's good to have spiritual goals? How many of you know it's good to have spiritual goals? Some people have no goals. You know, there's Christians that don't have any spiritual goals. I'm not talking about starting on January 1st and doing your devotions, and by January 5th, you're already bored with it and you're not doing it. I'm just talking about spiritual. I have a spiritual goal. And that's to have a love relationship with my God. So that when I see you, I see the best in you. But if I don't have that intimate relationship with the Lord, I could be just like your wife and find all your faults in, you know? So was that accurate? How accurate was what I just said?
Out of the park.
Really?
Out of the park.
Tracy. Rabbit trail. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. How many of you have heard that? Okay. How many of you here, honestly, that's just head knowledge? Okay, you've heard it. It's all good. So let's go deeper. Okay? Let's really, really impact the lives of people around us and our lives as well. You know what? I don't know about you, but you know, church this past couple of years has been really exciting, hasn't it? But have there ever been times when it's been boring for you? It's just like, we're just doing the same thing that we've always done. And like, why would we do that? Why would we settle for that? Like, why would, like, you know what? Like, what, like, like, I could think of better things to do to come here. Like, if there were, say we had a lot of religious spirit and legalism attached to this place, I wouldn't even be the pastor here, man. I'd be out of here. And I don't even know if I'd want to be in church. So let's have a deep relationship with the Lord, see what he can do through us, to see people's lives changed and transformed. Because when you're generous in your giving, those are the happiest people. Amen? And the only time, and it's true, generosity, I put that on Facebook. How many of you saw that already? Okay. Generosity, generous people are the happiest people. They really are. And the only people who don't know that are people who are not generous. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about, like, Kevin, buddy, you're leading a Connect group. Okay? Like, you got saved in this church 11 years ago or something like this, 12 years ago. You get married in this church, and you know what? You've been functioning as a superstar, and now you're going to get to lead people and share some of the journey that you've had over the last 11 or 12 years. Like, that's amazing stuff. That's something that we celebrate in this house. So, would you like to experience God to the fullest? Would you really? I believe that all of us can agree on this. But if we are willing to respond to a deeper relationship, to the invitation to a deeper relationship with him, all sorts of wonderful things are going to happen. But let me ask you a question, or two, or three. Right now. Your experience with God right now. Okay? I would describe my present experience with God as, number one, frustrated. You don't have to put up your hand. Okay? Frustrated. Okay? Number two, I would describe my present experience with God as earnestly desiring direction. So the first one was frustrated. Some people are putting their hand up for all of them. Okay? The third one is bewildered in the face of life. So which one of those do you fit into? So let's take a second and pray. Father, help us this morning, because Lord, all of us are just students at your call. And Lord, open our hearts, open our understanding. Father, I pray that Christianity and relationship with you would go to a really deeper level. And Lord, where we say in this church every week that we love God and we love people, help us, Lord, to love you at a deeper level so that, Lord, not only will we love people because we tolerate them, but Father, that we will love them and we would pray for them to see life transformation. So, Lord, the opportunity is before us. Help us, Lord, to set some spiritual goals. Help us, Lord, not to just come to a service and say, wow, that sounded good what Ken said this morning, and then just tuck it away again. So, Lord, help us. Help us to grow into all of this as a church family, as a family together. So let the Spirit of God bring you into an intimate relationship who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you ask. And my prayer is that each of you will entirely surrender so that He may guide you and instruct you in any way that He pleases. That He pleases. Can you say that with me? That He pleases. Okay? It's always about me. It's always like, well, Lord, just bless what I'm going to do. Where does this come from? And what I'm trying to tell you is to say, Lord, show me where you're working and let me join you. And then the blessing will come because we're doing it with our will is lining up with His will, as opposed to just flippantly not even having a walk with God except on a Sunday and coming in and saying, oh Lord, I can't pay my telephone bill, can you bless me? That's not a relationship. It's still a valid prayer. You're still praying, but I'm talking more than that. Jesus said that eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ with the help and assurance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when that truly became real to me, everything changed. Like, honestly, like, you know, when I got saved, I was a bushfire out of control. And I still am. If we had five services on a Sunday, I'm telling you, I would get energized more and more every service. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to come in this house and honor God. It is a privilege to call out His name. It is a privilege to read the Scripture. It is a privilege. It's not an obligation. It is a privilege. And that is what I desire so much for all of us. In the Scripture, knowledge of God comes through experience. So I'm going to show you a couple of stories here. And I pray that life experiences with God that you have are amazing moving forward. I would honestly cancel everything in the service here just to hear testimonies. Okay, we'll start. We'll open up the service. Open up in prayer. No music, nothing. Okay, testimonies. What's amazing that God is doing through your life for 2 hours? I would do it. I don't care. We don't have to stick to any particular plan. So if you're anything like me, you will never be satisfied just to know about God. Okay, really knowing God comes through experience. And when you read the Bible, you witness that God always took the initiative to reveal Himself to people by experience, right? Show me an encounter where that wasn't the case. For a Hebrew, the person's name represented his character. Okay, so that would be, so like in Spanish, Linda's name is not a name. It's a word. It means beautiful. So when we have traveled to Latin countries or where they speak Spanish or whatever, they would say to Linda, bonita, okay, which is beautiful. It's a word. That's what it represents. And in Hebrew, a name represented the character of a person, and that is why we frequently see the names or titles of God following an event in the Scriptures, as the Bible has characterized God somehow. So I'll give you an example. The Lord will provide. How many of you have heard that before? The Lord will provide. So in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 18, God is in the process of developing Abraham's character to be the father of a nation. God put Abraham's faith and obedience to the task by asking him to sacrifice his son, a promise, Isaac. Okay, I got to stop you. I don't get that. Okay? I don't get it. That's hard. It's a great story because we know the end of the story. But I'm just telling you, man, I'm the preacher here, and I look at that and I go, God, you know, like, whoa, okay, just being honest. You may be newer in the faith here. Just telling you the truth. Okay, you got to work these things through. I'm still working through some things, but I know that he is God, and I know he's king. So up until this point, Abraham had known God by experience as God Almighty, because God had provided him a son that he and Sarah in their old age would have, and beyond the limits of childbearing. I don't get that either, but it's okay. It's okay. So now God is requiring Abraham to walk with him by faith. On the way up the mountain to the place of sacrifice, Isaac asked his dad, "So where is the lamb? Where's the burnt offering?" Can you imagine Abraham at this moment, how he felt? Knowing that Isaac was the sacrifice. How many of you don't have never heard this story before? Okay, it's in Genesis. So you go and you read that. It'll blow your mind, okay? And so here, he's going up, the father, knowing that his son is going to be the sacrifice. And so Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering." And Abraham made the adjustment in his life and acted on the belief that God was his provider. He obeyed God, and when God saw Abraham's faith and obedience, he stopped Abraham from sacrificing him, and he provided a ram instead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a hard lesson for Abraham to know without a shadow of a doubt that he would lead many, many nations, many people, that God is a provider. Because we know the story. So how many of you have been in a wilderness experience where it's just like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And you have such a faith, God will be my provider. How many of you even this week have had to say, God will be my provider in spite of circumstances? So Abraham even named the place. He named the place where he was, the Lord will provide. And this is how God also came, this is how we also come to know God. We come to know God as we experience him. Well, we can't experience him if we only know about him. We have to know him. So God reveals himself to us through experience of him at work in our lives. And that is fabulous. So we can know God as our provider as we read the story about Abraham. But we really come to know God as provider when we experience him providing something in our lives. Amen? So repeat after me. I need God to be my provider today. Amen. Another one. I am who I am. No, you don't have to repeat that one. It's another point. You're so, Tracy, you are such a good girl. You're so obedient, you know. Speak it into existence. So here we have Moses. These are fabulous stories. So here we have Moses. He had an encounter with God where God revealed a personal name to Moses. And when Moses is at the burning bush, he asked God, he says, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and if they say to me, 'What is his name?' God said to them," he says, "just tell them." God responded, "Tell them, I am who I am." And he said, "You shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent me to you." So he is saying, I am the eternal one. I am the eternal one. He is saying, I am everything that you need. He is saying that to you this morning. I am everything that you need. Some of you have been looking all the wrong places. And he is saying, just like he said there, except there's not a burning bush, but we have the Holy Spirit that takes up residence within us. And he is whispering right now in your heart, right this second, and he's saying, I am all that you need. Take advantage of it. Okay, don't ignore me. Take advantage of it. He is saying, I am everything you need. And for the next 40 years, Moses came to know God experientially as Jehovah of Yahweh, the great I am, the great I am. And God created you, each of you and me this morning for a love relationship with him. When I wrote this, I was very aware that there's men in the service, and sometimes the way we talk about our love relationship with God is we've really feminized it, and the men can't. So I said, so I took out some of my wording, and I said, he wants to have an intimate love relationship with you. Okay? So I'm thinking of some of you men right now, and intimate. Okay, my wife says that I don't communicate well, and all of this. So what does that look like? What does that look like? So I took out intimate. So is it okay, guys, that he wants to have a love relationship with you? Okay, does that soften it but strengthen it at the same time? But he wants to have an intimate relationship with all of us, doesn't he? When he reveals himself to us, he's allowing us to get to know him by experience, right? It's funny, Hannah. Where's Hannah? Remember that day, Hannah, I was doing all the networking of the router in the office? Hannah, you know, she's so smart. So I'm so frustrated. The networking is not going the way I want, and I like that kind of stuff, and I like working with code and all this kind of stuff. And I'm so, and so she says, so did you pray about it? I said, no, I didn't respond. Some of you would respond like, and I said, oh, thank you, Hannah. That was so good. Thank you. I'm going to do that right now. And I went and I prayed. 5 minutes later, the whole network is up and running, and we haven't had a problem since. Okay. So what happens is he reveals himself to you, and he is allowing you to know him through experience, whether it's even setting a router or whether it's anything. He's going to reveal himself through experience, but you have to be aware of that. And that is powerful. And because a Hebrew name described a person's character or nature, God's name is majestic and worthy to be praised. Calling on his name indicates that you are seeking his presence. So that's why I love worship when we come into this house. Oh my goodness, we're so blessed in this house. I think, what do we have now? 4 or 5 worship leaders now? There's 30 people, folks, now involved in the worship ministry of the church, because you know why? We love to praise his name. We could praise his name all day. We praised his name on Friday night. We praise his name on Wednesday night. We praise his name on Sunday morning, because we are learning his character. We are experiencing him. Calling on his name indicates that you are seeking his presence. Okay? Whether you're singing or you're just in the car and Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You don't know that song, do you? How many of you never heard that song? How many? Put up your hand if you never heard that. Well, you're only saved 3 years, so. We used to sing that song like for hours, you know. In our church in Brampton, honestly, we had this lady from Trinidad, and she was the surgeon's wife. So she's supposed to all be dignified and everything, but our church was half Caribbean and half. And she would get up, and we'd go around, Jehovah Jireh, and people would start to get up, and we'd be going around the whole church. It was so much fun. I'm not talking 40 years ago either. So the psalmist, he says in Psalm 89, he says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. So in summary, you hungry? Are you hungry? How hungry are you? Tell me how hungry you are. Remember at the beginning of my message, you wouldn't let me start? How hungry are you? You're not very hungry? That's a good answer, because if you would have said hungry, I would have said, oh, well, it'll just be about 15 more minutes. So in summary, Maggie, it's so good to see you. It's awesome, eh? Welcome home, you guys. Seriously. The names of God in Scripture reveal something of his nature, activity, and character. You come to know God by experience as he reveals himself to you. Amen? And as you experience God, you will come to know him more intimately and personally. And as you come to know him, you will want to express your praise, your gratitude, and your worship of him. And that's wonderful. And one of the ways that we do that is we honor his names. And so listen to some of the names in Scripture that I just came up with. And you know, just thank him for revealing himself to you. So in Job, it says, my witness. In Isaiah, a sure foundation. In John, bread of life. In Job again, my friend. In Jeremiah, comforter in sorrow. In Genesis 17, Almighty God, Psalm, my hope. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, God of all comfort. Okay, in Isaiah 9 and 6, wonderful counselor. Psalm 51, God who saves me. Psalm 140, the strength of my salvation. Psalm 48, my guide. Revelation 19, faithful and true. Second Chronicles 13, our head. Isaiah 64, our father. Ephesians 5, head of the church. Psalm 33, our help. 1 Timothy, mediator. Psalm 32, my hiding place. Ephesians chapter 2, our peace. And probably the greatest one of all is in Hebrews 4, a great high priest. Amen? Amen? So God is good. So Father, as we begin this journey over the next few weeks of looking into experiencing God today, very practically as you meet us and you reveal yourself to us, and Lord, that we would see you, we would grow deeper in this relationship with you, and that, Lord, all the benefits and all the results that come out of that, of a relationship with you, would go back to give glory to your name. So, Lord, we commit ourselves right now to giving glory to your name so that, Lord, and we would just reap the benefits of seeing life transformation in us and those around us, and that, Father, we will be so happy because generous people are happy. So let us give away your grace to so many people in an attitude of love and in an attitude of holiness. So, Father, bless each one. Bless the food to our bodies now as we go. And, Father, for those who are coming back tonight for a movie, Lord, just bless each one in this house. In Jesus' name, amen.